Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of CookieCast. Today on CookieCast, it's the darkest timeline. This week, we are talking about when all the money in the world is just not enough. One of the more embarrassing points in my life, a birthday, a book, and a bike. We've got movie, no TV this week, I'm afraid, but movie and a couple of games to talk about. Before we get started, please do consider like, share, subscribe and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. The big one, the main one, the daddy of all. Share the podcast around. You know, friends, family, people you meet in the street, just say, hey, check this podcast out. Right, let's get started. Here we go. This is CookieCast, the darkest timeline. Hello, how you doing? How are you? A little bit of procrastinating going on. Just couldn't muster. Right, let's just get stuck in, because there's not actually a lot to go through this week, which surely means it's going to be an hour and a half of me just wearing them. So, to avoid that, let's just get stuck in. One day last week, I put something on to watch. It was one of those scenarios where it wasn't putting something on to sit down and watch. It was put something on kind of like a bit like to have on in the background. I don't really go in for that, but there are times when it can get a bit quiet, so you get a bit like, oh, I just need something to break the silence, I think. So, went on to the trusty Amazon Prime app. Me, tripped and bought something. In my defence, a couple of things. One, something that I tried to buy previously that I thought was really expensive. That then went into a sale, so it was £4. And then when I actually tried to purchase it, rather than it taking the money out of my bank, it took it from a gift card. I'm trying to find the words for a lot of stuff recently. Which I have on my account, which was supposed to be used for buying books. But whatever. But that's not even what we're talking about. What we're talking about is, while I was there, I did a search for a film that I tried to watch a little while ago. And when I tried to watch it, the subtitles were in a foreign language, or the language was in a foreign language? Either way, I couldn't watch it. It was unwatchable for one of those reasons. So I was like, oh, I'll try and see if I can watch that properly this time. Popped it on, sat the iPad down, and that was that. Away we go with a already started 20-minute in film. Job done. I think I was about 4 minutes in to what I was watching. And I got an advert. Now, I know full well that I'm not the first person to mention this whole Amazon Prime advert saga. And if I'm honest, I'd only heard of it. I hadn't encountered it. And I was very much like, well, it's not great, but I haven't been faced with it. So I was a bit like, meh. So an advert came on and I was like, what is this? I was like, oh, you know, it was an advert. It was a long advert. And at the bottom of the screen where I'm looking to see if I can skip it. No, I can't. And there's a little thing that says one of two. And I was like, you're telling me that you've put an advert in a film that is long and you can't skip and there's two of them. No, thank you. And I immediately closed the app and I was like, so I'm there like, okay, let's say it's Saturday night. Let's say I've sat down to watch a movie. You go through Amazon Prime, you find your film, you decide on the one you're going to watch, pop it on, got your tea ready to go, and away you go. And 8 minutes into the film you're watching, you get an advert that you can't skip, and there's multiple adverts that you can't skip. And this is the point in time that you are reminded that Amazon Prime is not a free service. It's not something that Amazon, out of the goodness of their heart, say, here you go. Why don't you have this? It's a paid-for service. You pay Amazon money. Now, in our house, it gets paid for yearly. So once a year, you get a swift kick to the balls when you remember, ah, shit, I've got to pay the Amazon Prime. You get two benefits from Amazon Prime. One is you're supposed to get your parcels quicker, next day, whatever you want. Obviously, from Amazon's perspective, they don't want to do that anymore. So they've now started doing the, oh, you can have it for free tomorrow. Or you can have it for free on Thursday. Okay. That's 4 days away when you've just told me I can have it for free tomorrow. I think I'll have it tomorrow, thanks. Or my new favourite one, which is I am still waiting for a parcel that I ordered 3 weeks ago. And they just keep changing the delivery date on it. It was supposed to turn up last Wednesday at one point in time. Last Wednesday came and went, and by the end of the day, they just changed the date by a week. Just cause. Because, hey, why not? So, you get two things for the money you pay. One of those things is, oh, can I have my parcel tomorrow, please? Yeah, if you really must. And, oh, what's the other thing that you get for the money you pay? What is it? Let me... oh, yeah, that's right. Amazon Prime, the TV function. A service you are paying for. Now, I am fully aware, like I said, not the first person to bring this up, and I'm pretty sure that somebody has already sued Amazon for this. Obviously, for a paid service, you can understand. Because Amazon are really struggling as a company. They're barely able to keep the lights on these days. They're solely responsible for putting multiple companies out of business. They you know, they really can't afford to not get even more money on top of the money that they've already got, which is all of the money. They have all the money. What exactly is wrong at this point in time? What is the, oh, we've got all this money, we've got more money than any entity in the world. We physically can't get any more money. Certainly can't spend it all. But we just need a little bit more. A little bit more money. For who knows what reason. And, you know, let's face it, that seems to be the theme of absolutely everything at the moment. Nobody's got enough money. Do you know who's not got enough money? The people who need it most. They're the people that don't have any money. I can't possibly imagine why. In case you haven't worked it out, I'm not in the best of moods today. So, you know, every now and then, I like to have a little rant. I took my son to, I don't know what you call it, soft play? I don't know how these things are categorised. Basically, I kept telling him that we were off to the baby gym. Which he seemed to be sort of like, yeah, that sounds great. I've no idea what you're talking about. And I'm like, you've been before when you were a tiny toddler. So we go to a place. Obviously, he's got no recollection of us being there. Honestly think that there was some sort of pandemic-related aspect to go in the last time. To shorten a very long story, I got sick and tired of spending money on a Wednesday. So I was like, right, I need something to do. I was like, I'm going to take him to do something. So we went to do this baby gym thing. Soft play, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. But basically, they've got a couple of inflatable things, a load of soft things, a load of play mats. It's half a basketball court. I'm not using that as a size measurement. It is actually half a basketball court. So we go there, we get there. You know, enough people there. And we go in. And he's just like, what is this? I'm like, yeah, this is where we've come. We've come here for the morning. He's like, this is amazing. Get my shoes off. Look, get me in there. I was like, absolutely, let's do it. So we potted around in and out of a couple of the areas. We went on one of the inflatable bits. It's fine. It's one of those. I have been on this area before, and I managed. I managed okay. So, we've got this massive inflatable. It takes up one side of the room. It is a 20-foot inflatable slide with a inflatable obstacle course attached to it. The thing is massive. It's the width of a basketball court. And it takes up it takes up a quarter of a basketball court. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, well, if I'm prepared to make a little bit of a tit of myself, I can probably do bits of it. I think he'll like it. I think he'll enjoy it. And as long as I don't take myself too seriously, I think that I can just about manage this. Now, this had all the hallmarks of super embarrassment. So being of the larger persuasion, you know, you have to accept your limitations and a lot of things, and that's kind of that. But I was like, it might be all right. And I was looking at the individual pieces. I was like, right, to get through the hole, you've either got to like launch yourself through the hole at the front at the start, or a secret weapon was going to be throw my feet through first and then do like a, as if I was shooting off down a water slide. I was like, that could work as well. Then there was these large inflatable columns you got squeezed through. Then there was like some rollers that they didn't roll, but they were as if they were rollers. More inflatable columns. And then essentially like an inflatable ladder to get to the top to go down the slide. So I'm thinking, I can do this. If I accept a percentage of embarrassment, I think I'll be all right. Now then, I do think I overplayed my hand, because there's a part of me that thought that the climbing would help. I'm not too much of a man to admit that. I believed somewhere deep inside that because I've been doing what I've been doing, it was going to help me. So I was like, hey, do you want to go on the big thing? Yeah. All right, let's go on the big thing. So it's not a blame culture, but I completely forgot that he was a factor. So we get to the first bit. The first bit's like an inflatable step. So you step up, foot off the ground, you've got like a porch, and then these two big holes to get into the thing. At no point in time did I think, oh, I've got to get him through this bit. So we step up, obviously, like I say, being bigger, it's a bit like, this thing isn't quite supporting my weight. But it's okay. I've kept my balance. It's fine. I pick him up. For want of a better way of putting it, I kind of throw him through the hole. He's fine. So then comes the bit where I've got to get through. Now, at this point in time, main focus. Forget the embarrassment side of things. Main focus, don't let the trousers fall down. That would not be good. So, main focus is that. I do like a shimmy and a roll and a get through the hole and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. It's not glamorous. It's not great. Did manage to keep my trousers up. Big thumbs up. Did end lying on the floor. So was like, okay, got to get up. Sent to my son, was like, do you want to go through these columns? He's like, yeah. I was like, why don't you go around the outside? No, he wanted to go through them. So I had to like stand up, prise these things open and kind of shove him through the gap. So that was that. We get to the rollers. I'm like, ah, now then. I've already sussed this one out. Drop and roll, baby. So I was like, hey, let's go through the roller thing. I just drop to the floor, roll underneath the lower one. Done. No problems. Then we are then faced with A, me having to stand up again, and B, the inflatable columns again. I'm like, okay, we know how to do this. Push them aside, push the child through. I then go through, job done. We are halfway through with just the slide to go. No problems, no dramas so far. Yep, not dignified in the slightest, but hey, I accepted it. We get to the ladder, and all it essentially is like blocks that are stitched in to the inflatable. And I go, Oh, I thought there'd be more than this. So, my son starts climbing these blocks. For him, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, off he goes. He gets so high, I push him up another one, and I'm like, now you are at that point, I can reach you, but that's it. So I was like, right, I need to start going up. Gauge these blocks. I was like, right, this is where the climbing's going to come in. I need to climb up these blocks, get to the top, and then we just go down the slide together and it's a win. And then we can kind of scratch this one off, go back to doing the stuff that's more on the ground. So let me break down the problem and then I'll break down the rest. It's a three-part thing. I work out that although it's not ideal, I can, with my extensive climbing experience, I can climb the ladder. It's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be pretty, but it is possible. I can do that. I can get to the top, swing my leg over, and prepare myself to go down the slide. I can't lift my son at the same time. So there's all of this going on. You've got kids running around left, right, and centre. You've got grown-ups running around left, right, and centre. And there's me and my son stuck at on this ladder because I can't go up and he doesn't want to come down. And I go, right, okay, well, if I can get on the other ladder, there's two. If I can get on the other one, I'll just go up the ladder, get to the top, bring him up the last step, and we'll slide down. Problem solved. Not problem solved, no, because I can't let go of him. If I let go of him, he's going to fall. He could potentially hurt himself. If I try and climb the ladder, the vibrations of me climbing the ladder is almost definitely going to knock him off. So I can't let go of him. And that's that. This is where we stay for what's probably bordering on 10 minutes. There is zero solution to this. I even considered asking one of the other adults, parents, if they were able to climb up the ladder and then hold him at the top and bring him up so I could then climb the ladder and we could go down together. I wasn't too much of a man to be able to do this, but at the point in time when it would have counted, no parents anywhere. So then I have to convince him it's a good idea to come down. He doesn't want to come down. We go through it all again. He's like, no. Then he decides, well, if you're not coming up here, fat man, I'm off. And I'm like, look, mate, you just can't go, I'm afraid. You can't go on your own. You can't go without me. I can't hold on to you. You're going to have to come down. And I think there was a point where somebody had kind of shaken the ladder and his feet had moved to the side. And I think he got a bit like, oh, I don't like this. So in the end, he agreed to come down. Which is what he did, he came down. Then we had to get ourselves out, which was all the stuff I mentioned, but in reverse. We managed to get to the hole, and this time I was like, I ain't going through what I went through last time, so I'm going to throw my feet through it. In hindsight, much easier way of doing it. Managed to get us both out, job done. Hands down, one of the more embarrassing moments in my life. Because obviously we had to then stand whilst all of these children and all these parents were just going past. And every single one of them, I can only imagine, was going, what exactly did you think was going to happen? And in my head, I'm like, oh, I knew. I just didn't want to admit it. I had a birthday in the house. It happens, because there's so many of us, it happens quite frequently. Or at least there's something going on quite frequently. So we had a birthday. Youngest daughter, aged something that she's going to have to prepare herself for. Going to school on her birthday. One of my children has only had to deal with that for the first time in the last year. Which, you know, it's nice for them. However, other children are well versed in going to school on their birthday. So she had to have that whole thing of getting up, having the realisation that it was her birthday, having the realisation that she had presents to open, and having the realisation that she was then going to go to school for 6 hours. And all those presents would be sat there waiting. And what's obviously real nice about that is once you get home from school, you've got a very limited amount of time to open your gifts before you go to bed. What would be really nice in a situation like that is if one of your parents wasn't at work that day and you had to wait for them to come home. So, yeah, been a bit of a weird one. Like when a child turns two and they start acting out, somebody naturally is going to say, oh, the terrible twos. And you go, yeah. There have been some issues in the house recently. Some behavioural issues. Probably won't say nothing major, but it's been pretty bad. There's been some attitude going on. Not entirely sure what it's all about, but it's not been great. So yeah, there's been that to deal with. It's just too much stuff. I was talking to Sam, and we were both saying, like, when we were kids, you asked for, like, two or three things, and you got two or three things, and that was your lot. And that was it. And now it's, like, so much stuff. And I don't think they need any of it, if I'm honest. She's already settling into that that role where, you know, the weekend before she'd had a party, and the day before she'd had a mini party, and the day of she'd had another mini party, and it just bang, 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 party, 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 party. And I was like, do you suppose it diminishes the actual day, the actual birthday, to have all of this? I was informed that that wasn't the case, but I don't know. It's supposed to be exciting, isn't it? I mean, not like it was for me. I used to get poorly. I used to get ill. Something else that's happened in the last week. I finished a book. Now, normally I do the whole joke about, I think that some of you are surprised I could even read. I struggle. I think I've been through it before. There's this whole thing that I've read more books in the last 5 years than I've read in the last 40. There are a lot of reasons around that. Blah, 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 blah. But I read a book recently. And it's written by an author who wrote one of my favourite books. a book that I read many years ago, not many years ago, a few years ago, I would like to say, it has to have been in the last 5 years, and absolutely loved it, thought it was fantastic, just so well written, so imaginative. It was a new book with new characters from an author who's well known for writing a series of books with a series of the same characters. So it was a bit of a departure from that. You're a bit like, ooh, you know. And it was just, it was fantastic. One of my favourite books. It had a sequel. The sequel was not as strong. I think that's just par for the course at the end of the day. Anything where the first one is an absolute banger, TV series, movie, in this case book, the second one is always going to be just not as good. There's something wrong with trying to recapture that lightning in a bottle kind of situation. Not too long ago, got into listening to audiobooks, not instead of reading. It was on top of reading. I will only listen to an audiobook of a book I've already read. And it's to try and relieve the pressure on my podcast listening, because my podcast listening just got wildly out of hand. I physically couldn't keep hold of podcasts long enough to listen to them. I just went through like so many a day that I just kept running out. So it was a way to try and like take some of the pressure off the multitude of podcasts I listen to. Pretty sure I've been through all this before. So there was a point where I got the second of these books, the first and second of these books on Audible and listened to them. And it was one of those. First one, great. Second one, better listening to it as an audiobook, not as strong, not as good, but fine. The third book, which is the newest one, came out very end of last year, I think, if not the very start of this year. I was very excited. I was like, ooh, got it as a Christmas present. Did that thing where I went, well, I know what I'll be doing. I'll absolutely be listening to the audiobook of this one. It is just short of 500 pages, and I mean just short of 500 pages. And I remember being at round about 300 pages and saying, I kind of have to presume that at any moment this book's going to get going. Because up to this point, really hasn't. I looked at the page number and went, that can't be a good sign. The book carried on, and eventually I realised that this was basically the end, you know, the lot. This was all I was getting from this book, and I was super disappointed. Whilst at the same time knowing that I've paid good, hard-earned cash for the audiobook, which means I'm absolutely going to have to listen to it. And I'm like, oh no. So, I'm like, something's got to happen in this book. The book decides, hey, you think nothing's happened up to this point. Well, guess what? And a bomb goes off. I don't mean that metaphorically, I mean an actual bomb goes off. So they went from one extreme to another where in 300 to 400 pages, nothing happened. And then they just set off a bomb. And I'm like, any chance we can just get something like in the middle of the two extremes? Apparently the answer was no. I dragged my ass kicking and screaming through the rest, the 200, 100, whatever pages that were left of the book. And over the weekend, I finally managed to finish it. And there was that part of me, there was that secret part of me that hoped there was going to be something, a twist ending. Something that was like, ha, fooled you. And there wasn't. And I was just like, are you telling me that I have given you 500 pages of my attention for nothing, for literally nothing? And not only that, I got that book brand new, digitally, obviously, but brand new at release. So think how much that cost. And then got the audio book digitally at release. So think how much that cost. It has been one of the biggest insults as far as something like this is concerned. It's an insult to the books that have come before it. It's an insult almost from and to the author. I am very much in the camp of, if you've got nothing to say, don't say it. So if, I don't know, for example, if you don't have a book in you, don't just write stuff down. Honestly, the fact that this was what was produced, and believe me, I am not criticizing in the sense of, well, I could do better. I absolutely could not do better. I'm not going to sit down and write you a book. This is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is somebody who has written banger after banger after banger of books. Absolute juggernaut when it comes to books, followed by amazing audiobooks because of who they've got reading them. The person that does the audiobooks of the original series, great. The person that got to do the audiobooks of the new series fits so well that when I heard this person's voice, I was like, oh my word, that's the voice I heard in my head. I could not believe it. So well done, so well put together. And then this. It is an insult on so many levels. There's a part of me that wonders what I'm hurt about the most. And I honestly think it is dedicating that level of time. I have currently 4 books waiting to be read. And I know that 2 of them I've already read. No, sorry. 3 of the 4 I've read samples of. And were enough for me to buy the books. The 4th one is book 10. In a series that I have read the other 9 of, and I'm currently listening to the audiobook starting from the beginning. I can presume that the 10th book in a series might be okay. Those were the things that were waiting in the wings for me to finish the other book. That's the thing I'm annoyed about. There's only so much time in the world. There's only so much time to read so many books. And I am way behind. That's the thing that's annoyed me. Something else that's happened in the last week is my youngest daughter has decided that she is going to learn to ride a bike. She has had a bike for a year and a bit. Right, 15 months. It was a first bike. It was a very nice bike, very swish. with stabilizers. She has shown zero. I don't want to use a particular word. From my personal opinion, I believe she still requires the stabilizers. However, there are children at school who are in her class who can ride a bike without stabilizers. Now, my point is children develop at different rates. It very much depends when you start riding a bike as to when you learn to, quote-unquote, ride a bike. So, I'm not there saying you should be riding this bike without the stabilizers. I'm like, let's keep those stabilizers on for a little while. Let's really cement this. Can we all agree that learning to ride a bike is possibly one of the most traumatic things you'll do in life? I still remember now, at the age of 43 3/4, I still remember now learning to ride a bike. I've got about 6 memories of my childhood. Learning to ride a bike's one of them. Any guesses on why that is? Is it because it was a fun-filled laugh riot of a time? Or was it a truly traumatic experience that lives with me at this point in time? And, as predicted by, absolutely everybody, when my daughter says, it's time for me to learn to ride this bike without stabilizers, I said, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. A, you are going to cry. I didn't say this to her, just so I'm clear. I said this to Leanne. I was like, here's what's going to happen. She's going to cry straight away. She is then going to say that she can't do it and she would like the stabilizers put him back on her bike. We, as responsible parents, will inform her that now the stabilizers have come off the bike, they can't go back on the bike because, as we know from a developmental perspective, you can't go backwards. Once you've committed something like this, you have to just soldier on. Then it will feature her deciding that she no longer wants to ride a bike. And that's that. She'll use her scooter from now on. We, as responsible parents, will say, that's not an option, you need to learn to do this. And you will now spend every available opportunity trying to learn to do this. This will feature many, many attempts at going out with the bike without the stabilizers, to the point where we, the parents, will absolutely consider, maybe we should just put the stabilizers back on. And then, as 3 phoenixes that rise from the ashes, we will crest the horizon. 2, at some point it'll click and she'll learn to ride the bike. Unfortunately, we are at the beginning of that stage. So yeah, a lot of fun ahead. I was about to tell you I was lying. I am absolutely not lying. No TV this week. Instead of watching some TV stuff, me and Leanne watched a film in 3 goes, I think it was. That's what it's like watching films in our house now. So no TV. I did watch a film though. And it's the film that I really wanted to talk about last week, but didn't quite finish in time. I watched The Creator. Little story. I got The Creator for Christmas. Then I saw a thing that said it was going to go on to Disney in the new year, and I got it refunded. So then I just had to sit and wait. It went on to Disney in the new year, back end of January. And then, like anything, I had to try and find the time to watch it. That happened the week... oh, my... week before last I started it. Didn't get it finished by last week. So I couldn't talk about it. Oh, I've got a right tickle. It's right in the brain. Oh, wow. I'm trying to deny the fact that I need to start taking my hay fever stuff. Because, you know, it's March. Oh, that one's right in the brain, is that? Oh. So, got around to starting it. Didn't get around to finishing it in time for last Monday. So, literally, I think I finished it the next day. What am I going to tell you about the creator? I think I want to start on a negative. Which I know is not going to be the best. But I'll bring it back. Don't worry. The creator. Simple answer. Not as good as I'd hoped it was going to be. What I'll say is this. There are certain aspects of the creator that look amazing. I believe it's a low budget. I meant to look it up to see if it was a... I have a feeling it's a Blomkamp, is it? How can I best find out? DB. Go into there. My internet is absolute dog shit at the moment. And then... The Create. There it is. I don't know where I would find that information now I think about it. Gareth Edwards? Okay. So... Great, not as good as I hoped it would be, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, even if it sounds like it. So, some things of the creator look absolutely amazing. The robots look amazing. Some of the scenery, set pieces, etc. look amazing. Some of the CG looks amazing. Some of it doesn't. Now, I feel like we're talking, like, in a weird way, low budget for certain CG bits. There were certain bits where it's like, I mean, that doesn't even look like they made an effort to make it look real. Whereas some things in the film look amazing. The two biggest drawbacks for this film. One of them's not gonna be great, I'm afraid. The main guy in the creator was the main guy from Tenet. And I really didn't get on with him in Tenet. I don't know what it was, I couldn't put my finger on it. It was just... I didn't know if it was the role. I didn't know if it was the way it was played. I couldn't put my finger on it. I just couldn't get on with it. The issue I had with Tenet was I felt the whole film was probably badly cast. Like, I never felt that a single actor... in a single role in that film fit. Now I say that, though, I need to double check something, because Tom Hardy's in what have I just said? Tenet. Boo. Maybe have I got him confused from when he was in? No, maybe I've got him confused. I thought he was in it really briefly. That must be it. Must be what's the other one? Inception. Okay, scrap everything I've said. So, every single person in Tenet, I felt was badly cast. And I never got on with any of the people that were in that film. Especially the main two, I suppose. I couldn't get on with Robert Pattinson in it. I couldn't get on with, what's his face? So, The Creator comes round. The main guy from Tenet is in The Creator. So I said, well, I never really got on with anybody in that film, and I think it was just badly cast. So I can give this guy another go. Again, he was a detractor in the film for me. I just couldn't get on with him. At this point in time, I think these are the only two films I've seen him in. So at the moment, either one way of looking at it is 100% or 0%. So, that was a big factor for me. The second major drawback for me was that as far as a film's concerned, and as far as a story is concerned, I felt like I'd seen it a million times before. This is a little bit of a spoiler, but not really. But, you know, when you watch a zombie movie, and then it turns out that the humans are the bad guys, you know, every time you watch a zombie film, it turns out the humans are the bad guys. And in, like, certain monster movies and, like, certain, like, you know, films where it's like, oh, the humans were the bad guys all along. Yeah. Outside of that, all the pieces of the main story, I personally felt like I'd seen all of it before, many, many times, whilst at the same time could not give you a single example. It feels very based in like an anime world, because it's basically between like America and like Asia. So I don't know if it was that kind of gave it that feel. The child that they had playing the child in it was actually very good. I often have this thing where I think, I actually said the other day, children can make or break a movie. Typically, the film that me and Leanne watched over the last few days, I feel that the child in that film is hands down the worst thing about the film. A real detractor, because they're in it a lot. Not going to mention what it was. Pretty sure I've reviewed it before. Everything else about The Creator I really liked. And I know especially when I go in and with, like, I go in hard where I say, I didn't like this about it. It always comes across as like, so here's an example. I would give The Creator a solid 7 out of 10. 7.5 out of 10. It was perfectly fine. Perfectly watchable. There was a lot about it that you spent your time going, wow, that looks really good. Oh, that's an interesting concept. Oh, you know, that sort of thing. There were just a couple of things. Like, it basically, in my review, it's lost a couple of points. It's also, I was hoping for a solid 8, 8.5 to 9 is what I was hoping for. And I just feel that those detractors may be a little too much for me. Definitely a good film. Definitely worth a watch is what I would say. Computer games wise, I have been playing Diablo 4, and over the last 2 or 3 days I've actually put quite a bit of time into it. The issue I have with it as a game is I have no review to give. I can't say, oh, I did this mission and I did this thing and this happened. It is a particular type of game where it is always the same. And that's not a bad thing. You go into a dungeon, you fight all these different types of monsters. You use your lightning bolt or your fire, your stream of fire or your fire bolt. They die, you pick up gold, you pick up health, you pick up armor and weapons. And you rinse and repeat. And there is an aspect where you would think that what I'm saying is it's bad and it's boring. But it's not. It's great. It's a beautiful game. It plays really well. The balance in that game is like that knife in Infinity War. Perfectly balanced. It plays so well. It's so nice. But there's literally nothing I can tell you about it. It is just what it is. I'm really enjoying playing it. There have been a couple of points in time where I've actually decided to play it over playing other things. A game I can talk about, I can continue to give you my review for Asgard's Wrath 2. Now I'm going to have a sip of a drink because I'm going to get a bit into it here. So, got the, this is going like a little while now, got the third of four characters. First character you get, hands down, the best character, which is unfortunate in so many ways. So, got a new character. Character number 3. So, we had Abraxas, I think it was, who's basically Kratos from God of War. Then we had the Water Lady. Damn it. Oh, then I got an elf. I had like 3 fingers. Didn't have, not the bow though. Oh, the bombs and the bow? Yeah. No, so the Water Lady had the sword that was a fish, and then the Elf Lady had a bow and bombs and a shield. I have a funny thing about bows in games. Great for fighting at distance, just not very powerful. The bombs that you get are cool. But that was that. And basically there was a lot of puzzles in that section. It was a little draining in places. Kind of struggled with the character, but not as much as the second character. So then I had this thing where I was like, oh, how does leveling up work? When you start with character 1, and you're going through your XP, and you're getting a lot of XP early on in the game, by character 4, surely your XP is non-existent. And if you get 1 experience point to then spend on a character that's new, but anyway, turned out, in actual fact, when you level up by the 4th character, you get 5 experience points. one of those things doesn't feel overly balanced in a lot of ways. But the thing where I was like, how does this work? That was basically the answer. So, managed to get through the third character, and I got a new character. New character is a guy who was dead, had his head cut off. When you take possession of him, you have to put the head back on. But you can use your own head as a weapon. Yes, I just said that sentence. You have a staff. You basically, weirdly, you're like a necromancer, even though your character is dead. And you're in the underworld. So, you've got a like a rosary bead thing, which is also a whip, which is also a shield. And you've got a staff, which can shoot stuff out the top of it, but you can also throw it, and you can hit things with it. Does this guy doesn't have any other weapons, I don't think. Oh, you can throw your head. You throw your head, use it as kind of like a possession thing, where once you attach your head to someone, that character fights for you. But you can also siphon their energy to use in your staff. And the final thing this character can do is my least favourite computer game mechanic, which is you can create portals. And the moment I found that out, I went, oh, no, no, no. I don't like portals. I am still traumatised from playing the game Portal. That is not even a joke. That portals traumatise me. The portals in this game are directional. So if you don't have your portal pointing in the right direction, well, you are shit out of luck, sir. As it is, this character has been kind of cool. Like I said, the problem I've got is the first character in the game was the best character. And I'm now on character number 4, who is also the last character. I've got all of the companions. Let's see if I can remember them. There's a monkey. A puma. A monkey, a puma. A falcon. A hippo. A boar. I feel there's one I've missed. Puma you get the first. Then you get the bird. Boar, hippo. Maybe there's only 5. I've got them all anyway. I've been levelling them up with armour and gear where possible. The weird thing is, I've been following a guy on YouTube for a couple of games now. He does really good walkthroughs. He's funny, and he just talks all the way, so you kind of learn by, you know, follow along type of thing. And with certain games I've been playing, I've been kind of very much following along with the videos, either watching stuff that I've already done in when I've been playing to see how he did it, or getting stuck and using his videos to help out. Watched the video this evening because I got to a boss that I was stuck on, and he was like, oh, this is how you do this. And I was like, okay, that seems like it's just quite simple in some ways. However, the video itself highlighted that I might be getting towards the end of the game, which feels a bit weird. I've been playing the game a long time, and I've been playing it a lot. It's supposedly a 60 to 90 hour campaign, and I'm now doing that. I do wonder how much time I've maybe put into this one. So, yes. There have been some puzzles that have been truly infuriating, and like I say, with the addition of portals now, the game has taken another knock in the points. I don't know where I left the score for this one. Maybe in the 8 kind of area. I might leave it there for now. I was going to say 7.5 or even 7, but yeah, I don't know what's going to happen next. Because presumably, there's not going to be a lot left. I don't know how we're going to get round that aspect. But we shall find out. And we shall find out together, ladies and gentlemen. Right, there you go. That is the week. That is that. And I will catch you next time. So there we go. What do you think of that? Another one done. Another one gone. Where does the time go? It just evaporates into the ether. Big thank you for watching. Big thank you for listening. Big thank you for being here. Before you go, please do consider like, share, subscribe and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. And check out the website. Freshly, newly paid for website. That's right. I've paid the bills. We've got a website for another year. It's thegookiecast.com. There we've got social media links and an email button. And that way you can get in touch with us. That is it for this one. Until next time, I'm going to say bye, and I'll see you then.
This is a Cookie Cast production.